preacher and convince him. She goes, wait, this should be your verse. And that was how that was born.
That was Psalm
16:11. 68:11. 68. And we really quote from the ESV on that particular verse. Who would have? Well, Dynamic Women Initiatives is all about training and equipping the daughters of a nation, who will then in turn train their own people. None of us can do this ministry alone. We need the help of not only Christ, but we must multiply ourselves. So during this workshop, and I hope you can see this. Can you guys see this?
Yeah.
Wonderful. During this workshop, we're going to discover the importance of women in missions, how to map relationships, how a 15 to 30 second, and I'm going to remove that word, testimony, and say story, can start a conversation, and how we can encourage the next generation in missions. Let us start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is so good to be here. And only you know how these women can take out, look at your work and share your blessing with so many others. Lord, it was only one lady that you spoke to, and she went out to share with her whole entire village. So I'm asking you, Lord, to rain down your spirit upon these ladies and let them be that one lady who goes out into their entire community, to wherever you send them, and may they go out and share your love and what they learn today, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As you walked into the room, I gave certain people different numbers. If you have one of those numbers, I'd ask that you come up here quickly, and actually, yes, just come up here quickly. It's going to be 4 or 5 of you, I believe. Bring all your numbers. And I hope it's okay, you guys can come up. Be careful. Many of you my age, it's scary. Okay. Nobody else has any numbers? Yeah, I have numbers, but you should have a kid.
Are you laughing? Yes.
There we go. So I want you guys to, amongst yourself, look at that number that you have, or those numbers. And you're holding one digit that could be the most current population. Don't look at your phones.
All the numbers are used.
As a team, your challenge is to discuss and decide what you believe the correct number, the correct total number will be. And I want you to place it here on the map. So just talk about it amongst yourselves for a quick moment. Hold on, I'm going to get one.
The world.
And if anybody's having trouble hearing me, please just raise your hand or up and I will pick up a mic. You guys decide?
We're trying to figure out. We're trying to.
On the map, that's fine.
Well,
or below.
Okay.
Can you all see that?
We're going to be less so.
It doesn't matter. It's just a try.
Yeah, we don't have any grand prize or anything.
Okay, so it's not
you're
the
not,
prices, right?
There's yeah, 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 yeah. You're not going to have 2 showroom cases of anything.
I was thinking it was 7, we put it up there, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I think we're
to have three or four digits correct.
Woo! That's more than I was hoping for. That's more than I thought.
Well, I will put the correct numbers in the order they need to be, and I want you to think about this for a minute. So, the current world population is 8 billion 231 million 613,070.
Hey, we didn't do that.
No, we did really good. That is the number of people who encompass our world.
Wow. As of May 1st, 2025. This number represents real people, people living around the world. Each one has a name, each one matters to God, and every day that number is growing by 385,000 babies.
God's heart beats for all 8.2 billion people, but his plan to reach them begins with each one of you. The average person who is in the world today is about 31 years of age, and half are women. Did y'all realize that? Well, when you lead a women's ministry, you sort of have to know those kinds of things. Does your church reflect that reality? Is your median age in your church around 31?
No.
And are more about half women? So who's about 31? What's the is the church
39
about?
In church is about 36 and 37
for that. So. Okay. How many are about half and half in population?
About half.
Okay.
Ish. I don't know.
Okay.
So it's all right. I'm going to my church.
So, what is your name?
Mine? Lauren.
Lauren, tell me, what would need to change for your church to better reflect what we just shared with you? Average age, 31, and half women.
We would need to get younger people in our church. Our median age is about 60, 65.
Okay.
I'm 28, and I'm the, other than the kids that are already in our church, I'm the youngest person in our church.
Okay. Good. Good to know. Anybody else?
Just out of curiosity, how many people are in your church?
About 85.
Okay. But no matter if your church is small or large, there's some opportunity to grow in different paths, bringing in some younger people, equaling out the work for the harvest, right?
Yeah.
Great. Well, I just wanted to let you know that Jesus trusted the women to carry the news of his resurrection first. You talked about that a second ago. How is your church building that same trust, no matter if you're a small or a larger church? How are you building that same trust today, equipping women to share the gospel? Now, before you, I just want you to think about that for a minute. And before you answer, I'm 61. Most of my team members are right at my age or older. I have two of them that are younger. So it's still wide open. It's still wide open. So can anybody share with me what would need to, how is your church equipping the women to share the gospel in your church?
Across the street, around the world.
Across the street, around the world, wherever. Any thoughts? We're gonna hear some reasons, some ways that can happen a little later in this presentation. But I want you to think about that. Make that a part of your thought process today as we go through this. What is it our church needs to do in order to get women equipped for the global harvest, to be a part of that? And we're gonna help you with that a little later. As we move through this session today, take a moment to reflect on how you can personally step into the Great Commission and be a part of God's global work. Now let's pause for a moment and think about this 8 billion number. Every single second, two people slip into eternity. Two people slip into eternity. Just imagine, in the time it takes to snap your fingers, two people are gone. Their lives have gone, their loved ones are missing already, and in a day, that's over 130,000 people. That is 130,000 souls who will never walk this earth again. That's a huge number. The real question is, where will they spend eternity? And more importantly, what are you doing about it? 130,000, and some of them can be your loved ones. Will the person with the green card, it's over here, please stand and read Matthew 28:19-20 for us.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
We know this command. We've heard it preached. We've posted it on our walls and maybe even taught it ourselves. Go and make disciples of all nations. But still, we stay right where we're at. Why? Why is that happening? Is it because you don't think you're good enough? Maybe you don't have the right words, or you don't think you have the right words, but you may not have all the answers. Maybe it's fear dressed as wisdom. Maybe it's comfort disguised as calling. Maybe we've mistaken agreeing with obeying. But let's be honest, knowing the mission isn't the same as living it. We've memorized the Great Commission, but the world doesn't need our memory. It needs our movement. And that movement starts with each of us. Because the time is now, the world is waiting, heaven is watching, and your obedience could shape eternity. What is your roadblock? What excuse or comfort is standing in the way of your yes?
Can we hear a few answers? What keeps you from sharing?
Don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Fear of rejection.
That's a good one. One of the biggest reasons women don't step into their calling is simple, but very powerful. We lack the confidence. This came through loud and clear, not just from you all, but from many other women that we have spoken with. At the heart of CSOAR training, we begin by reminding women who they are in Christ. Why? Because that inner critic, that negative voice that we hear inside, gets especially loud when it comes to sharing our faith. It says things like, you're not good enough. You don't know enough. No one wants to hear what you have to say. Let's call that voice what it is. Let's give it the name. It's a lie from the enemy. It is Satan himself, who would love nothing more than to keep your voice silent. But here's the truth, God's truth. You are chosen. You are a daughter of the King. You are a part of a royal priesthood. You are the salt and the light in a very dark world. And when we begin to truly believe that, we replace Satan's lies with God's truth. Something powerful happens inside of us. Confidence rises, boldness is born, and the desire to share the good news becomes unstoppable. Another reason is we question, where do I begin? What do I say? When you walk in, you are handed a piece of cardstock. Piece of plain paper colored. On this card, I want you to draw a circle in the middle. And I'm going to do it right here for you.
Does everybody have a pen? Does everybody have a piece of paper?
Okay. Draw a circle right in the middle. And put your name in it. Okay. This is me, and I want to think of five people I know that don't know Jesus. I'm going to start with my daughter, Mary. She's in Chicago. I have a daughter, Christina. She's in Houston. I have a neighbor, Russ. I know he doesn't know Jesus. I have the guy down the street that I see every day when I walk by. The guy.
Sorry.
No. I have my hairdresser, Kelly. There's five people. Now I want you to name your five people that you know that don't know Jesus.
That are in your sphere.
That are in your sphere that you have contact with.
We're going to give you a couple of minutes to finish that.
God's telling your name right now. Just jot it down. Those five people could be family members, neighbors, business associates, or anyone else you see on a fairly regular basis. Cashiers at the grocery store, hairdressers,
soccer moms.
Does everyone have five people? Okay. And now that you've identified five people who need Jesus, I want to give you a charge to encourage you to take 5 minutes a day, every day, and pray for these five people. I've had women say, I didn't know it could be that easy. I didn't know I could make a difference with just starting to pray for five people. Well, don't you think it's that time? Can we start that easy? One more reason we don't share is we don't know how to share or what to share. Sharing your faith should be as easy as sharing a conversation. It's not making a presentation. In a book that you received when you came in, please turn to page 7, and we will help share that sharing your story, your Jesus story, can be as easy as counting 1, 2, 3, 4. That's okay. Woo-hoo. One more. Oh, that's another blank. I had 2 blanks. 3 blanks in there. All right. Let me show you how easy it can be by just sharing a story that I have. There was a time in my life, after my husband died, that I felt extremely alone and very, very sad. A good friend noticed how I was hurting, and she reminded me about Jesus and his love. I knew about Jesus, but I decided to join her anyway at a study group to learn more. I decided, and through there, I decided to trust him with my life. I discovered that Jesus is always with me. I'm in the family of God, and he helped me find my joy. And I have that joy again. Do you have a story like that? Is anybody crying? Okay. Now, what 2 words did I use when I described my life before
before Jesus helped you? Mm-hmm. What happened that made me want to follow Christ?
A friend reminded you of his love.
I can't hear it.
A friend reminded you of his love.
Thank you. Anything else? And then what did I do?
You went to a Bible study.
I went to a Bible study, and then I
trusted God with your life.
Yes, I decided to trust Jesus. So now what are the two words that I'm feeling? For who I am?
Joyful and kind.
Joyful.
Family of God.
What engaging question did I answer at the end? You have a story like that. Four things. Folks, sharing your faith is just this simple. You might wonder why you share it so briefly. We live in a society today that moves very, very quickly, expects everything to happen in a flash of a second, have short attention spans. But this is perfect on elevators, at the bus stop, in a coffee shop, any place you can hear something going on behind you and somebody you're next to. And then you can hear and just say, hey, there was a time when. This method is specifically designed to engage people in a conversation. So it's extremely important to be intentional when listening to others around you so that you can find opportunities to share. If they are interested after the encounter, ask questions. Take your time to expand it. Go have coffee. Right now, we're going to show you a little demonstration of how that can be used.
Hey Sally, this is Sam. No, nothing's changed with my husband. Yeah, he always just wants to leave me and go talk to his friends, so I always feel alone. And I get so angry because he's never there, and I just don't know what to do. Oh, okay, I understand. We'll talk later. Bye. How are you doing? Oh, hey. I'm okay. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well, but I want to tell you, I'm sorry I didn't mean to overhear, but I heard what you were talking about on your phone. Let me tell you that there was a time when I was alone and very, very lonely, and my husband discounted anything I said, and I didn't know what to do. I felt alone. A friend knew at a women's group. Told me about coming and joining, and that maybe I could find somebody or hear some things that they shared. I went and I heard, and I decided that God could help me find ways to work through this, that He would be with me all the time. I decided to follow Him, and now I'm never alone, and I have a value. He gives me a value. Do you have a story that might work like that?
Oh, I certainly do. I certainly do. Thanks for reminding me.
Okay. Is there, can I pray for you?
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Or, let's say a prayer. Oh, no, here comes the bus. Let's pray when we get on, okay?
So, all right, let's go. Thanks. Bye.
Now that we've completed that, take a few minutes for you to develop your own story. This doesn't have to be your come to Jesus moment. It can be any story when God helped you and how you were feeling, what you did. Let's fill out line number one first. The first two things you were feeling.
An experience you may have had where you then said, before God intervened or showed you His power and love.
Are you on page 7? Have you filled those out? I'm sorry, could we not tell you?
Don't read it.
Okay. On page 7, if you will just fill out the blanks in number 1, there's two things that you were feeling at that time. two simple characteristics that describe what your life was at that point before you turned around. Everybody have them?
Anybody not have them?
All right. Now, let's write two or three sentences on how you met Christ and why you began to follow him. Who told you, where you went, what you did. Keep this part brief. Stay away from churchy words like I was saved or I've been sanctified. Those words are not understood by people that are unchurched. Maybe a friend shared with you about Jesus. Maybe you listened, or to a coworker, somebody at a bus stop. Write those two or three sentences now. Keep them short. We'll give you another minute or so. All right, you've done the hard part. That was the harder part. Now let's move to number three. Now who are you? What are the words, how did Christ make a difference? How did he change you? Fill in those two words. Usually, they're contrasting words to the first two. Something close. How have you changed now? You have a minute or two to do that. What is your story? Thank you.
When we ask that question, it engages the listener. It encourages them to share as well. This wasn't a presentation. You can write it down, or you can just speak it. You don't have to have this. When you do that, you may discover a like-minded Christian, or you may discover someone who's never heard of Jesus. You may discover someone who knows him but isn't really pursuing a relationship. Whomever you share your testimony with will be able to respond somehow. Sometimes you get a green light. They may share a story with you. They may say, I don't have a story. Or they say, I would like to know about that kind of story. And in that, then you go ahead and you say, what is your relationship with Jesus like now? I don't have one. Okay, let's explore that. You have coffee sometime? Or they may share, they may want to talk more. You can determine how you perceive, depending on how you read the person and what they've said. But always continue and keep it open. Set up another time to talk. Invite them to a Bible study. Go to a movie. Do something that you continue meeting and reading with them. It's an important thing to note is that the way to continue is to find a way to continue that relationship. Even the lady on the bus, I could have said, I'll be here tomorrow for the same bus. I'll see you then. Doesn't matter. Find a way. Next is the yellow light response. They may be interested, but not sure. So proceed with caution. Again, try to set up another time to meet, pray for them, or invite them to the Bible study. Pursue that relationship if they're open to it. Nothing says it has to be done right now. You're opening the door and you're planting seeds. Okay, last, there's a red light response. They say, no, no thank you, I'm not interested at all. Okay. Then you offer to pay for it. You thank them and let them go. Use your prayers to open their closed hearts. Whether they're with you or not, you can still pray for them. It may be the next person they ask or shall share the story. In all three responses, please thank them for listening or talking with you and allowing you to share, and keep it moving. Okay, there's enough sitting down. We'll let everybody please stand up and bring your written testimony in your hand.
Quickly.
Stand up.
All right. The time on the phone is set for 30 seconds. When I say go, everyone say your testimony that you wrote down out loud.
Give me just a second.
About what the person next to you is thinking. They're going to be too busy reading their own to listen to you.
Sorry. Okay?
It's not going to matter. It's what you say. Okay. Face me and just repeat your testimony. On your mark.
Nope.
Oh. Stop when you hear this sound. Stop for 30 seconds. On your mark. Get set. Out loud, let me hear you. Go.
There's a time in my life. Now I feel
Come on.
Yeah, 30 seconds. You have a long time. When you practice this, you're going quick, and that's good practice because you're putting it in here. When you're actually talking to someone, we don't have to stop that time.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to jump out the bush and go, go! So let's try it one more time, and Sam, give us 15 seconds. We're
going to
try it in 15 seconds.
Okay? There was a time in my life when I faced a hospital worker asked me about my wife and prayed for my husband and I as we have friends and family. I am just very proud of you. Now I still feel so old and not alone to the story of our God.
Look what you did! Give yourself a hand. I do want to add a little bit here, sorry. You will have many of these stories. It's how you're listening to people to connect with them. And once you find a way to connect, you can come up with a story that Jesus helped to you. So you can have thousands of these, okay? All right, so what I'm gonna do is now that you've practiced with no one listening, I want you to find a partner that you're sitting next to or near, find a partner. And we're going to share. Everyone with a partner, the time will be 7 p.m. One partner will share, and then we'll wait until you hear the noise. And then we'll reset the clock, and the second person will get to share. Does everyone have a partner?
Okay, hold on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, who's going to be the first one to read? Raise your hand in your group.
Who's going to be the first one to share with the story? Okay.
When you hear the second beep, that's, we're going to ask a question and then we'll flip it over, okay?
The second one.
Well, I'm going to start you off by blowing my horn.
Oh, okay.
I'm blowing my, tooting my horn. That's okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
All right.
Mine's a little. I'll change that.
Now that you're done sharing, Sam, please reset the clock. Okay, the second one, the one who was the listener, now becomes the speaker.
But ask the question first. Did the partner who shared share all the points?
Oh, thank you. Did we get the four? Did everybody share all of it?
There was a time in my life when you had your two words, but then, or then, you had your transitional statement. Then number three, what were your next two words? And did they ask the last question? That's an important piece.
This is easy to forget, but that's how you connect and get them to talk back with you. All right, so the second group.
Ready? Did the second partner or the second one get through all of their pieces? Did they get
not quite 15 seconds?
Not 15.
You got it. I'll take
15. But as you do this, you're going to see that this is all about conversation. Okay? The important thing is not to rush or put everything that ever happened in your life in four sentences. It's to listen as Shannon shared, and then transition to how you can relate through an experience you had.
And then ask what their story is like. So that you have a response in which to you. So that way you can get into it. So ladies, where do we go from here? If the person you're talking with has time, you can continue the conversation. It may lead into sharing the gospel message. And if it does, we have a three-circle evangelism tool right in your book that you can use to share. It also is interactive and conversational. Okay? It's included in that booklet. You have just experienced two and completed two of the activities we do in the Seed Sower training. And this is the training that we carry through the churches and we take around the world. You will find additional information in the booklet that you have in the back. Before we close, let's take some time on how we can raise up the next generation of women in mission.
So, we're keeping this in mind. Keeping that in the forefront of why we do what we do. And as Shannon said, this is just a portion, a small section of what we do in training globally. Why is this important? Because it's practical. That is what we hear all the time when we come back to a field or when we have conference calls with what I call dynamic coordinators. And I was just on one for Columbia, where I had 66 women coordinators, dynamic coordinators throughout that country. They said, this is practical. It's easy. It wasn't meant to be deep and theologically. Let that happen naturally through building the relationship or even growing together. An example of that was yesterday I was talking to a good friend of mine. Her name is Alma. She lives back where I live, and she was having a problem with a boyfriend. I was going to say fiance, but they never made it that far. She was saying, I really just think I need to dig into more of God's Word. How do I do that? How do I do that? This is the openings we're looking for, and now we can start her, because her heart is open. Her heart is open. But I could relate too, because I've been in that type of relationship years ago. This is what we're all about. Making it practical, making it easy, and maybe something we can too grow together in. We don't have to be divinity majors or theological trainers. Gone to many years of seminary, while that is important. The whole idea is to get women in an understanding that it doesn't have to be a frightful thing. It can be as simple as a conversation. When you're at the store and in the line and somebody's getting aggravated because they're taking too long, you can relate. You can share an experience. Okay. Before we close, let's take some time on how we can raise up the next generation of women in missions. And here are some ideas. So for those of you who said, hey, I really need to understand what we can do, let's talk about that for a minute. We can provide opportunities of training. Start simple. Start that way. Look up online. What ways can I motivate the ladies in our church and give them opportunities to become leaders? Offer them some diverse roles in your church. Equip them with the skills and create a pathway for leadership. Are you overworked in your church? Are you saying everything falls on me? You know, I have to make it happen. One of the things was taught best from the church I attend is when I would say, hey, and she's got a lot of this, she was the women's leader. Hey, didn't you need if we started a group of runners or we started a group of this? And she looked at me and said, that's a wonderful idea. Why don't you start that? And give me a list of women you think might be interested in it. Don't think you have to take all that on. Or maybe you can say, hey, why don't you take a look at what it would take to develop something like that online. And then let's get back together. It never has to lay just with you. The next thing is create a mentor and support system. Pair a young woman with a mentor, somebody a little older. Create a support community and address the challenges they face. Ask that person, ask the young mother, hey, I see that you're always with your kids and you're running around and is there something I can help you with? Just giving them the opportunity to maybe say something and hope maybe take it one time, but a couple of times where they feel comfortable to say, you know what? How did you, if I see your boys are grown up, how did you get there? Janet's pastor was a homeschool teacher before homeschool was homeschool. She raised three boys, very successful boys, very intelligent. I only know them from afar, but I remember asking her, how did you get them to where they're at? You know, one to the journey.
Mm-hmm. One is works on base as a special, as like a scientist or engineer.
Okay.
And the third one, I think he is, he works with tech and AV, big time stuff.
And she lives in Elgin on base, so that's why she said base. And I go, how did you do that? Because these boys are miraculous to me. And she said, anytime they wanted to learn about something, they had something of an interest, if it was a guitar, if it was an airplane, we went inside and out. How many chords, what the chords did, why you string them like this. She goes, I just had to go for it. Well, that's what our ladies need. If they're asking you for some information, have them explore it together. Create that support system with them. The other thing is highlight role models and stories. If you're seeing something on the internet that is speaking about women and what they're doing and how they got there, share that. Hey ladies, here is something I thought might be interesting. Give them that, you know, wow.
Dynamic Women.
We have our own Dynamic Women's Mission Facebook. We share the different, we've got women around the globe, Africa and in Latin countries mainly, some in the Asian countries, but they'll put on their devotion that they're reading and they'll put in there how they interpreted it. I love seeing that, and it makes them feel wonderful first that you thought enough to put that on there, but other ladies, other cultures are seeing that and thinking, I never took that way. That's really pretty cool. But just put, you know, getting these resources from the internet, let us use that in a positive way. You know, use that in a positive way. Keep putting those things and sharing those with the ladies in your group. Hey, even if you don't know that person, but you're in your congregation, say, Sally, I know we don't know each other very well, but this made me think of you. Want to talk more about it or have any thoughts on it? That's all it takes. Encouraging one another through that way. Creating a welcoming environment. You can do that with Bible studies, service, opportunities. What are you giving them as opportunities to help in the church? They were small. Hey, one of the things my church did years ago, and I'm maybe saying the same thing that you've heard of, just know it is an affirmative, but they put out something like what do we call ours? Tell us about yourself, sheet. And it had just some, make it simple, otherwise, you know, nobody's gonna wanna read, put sentences down. But, you know, what do you like to do? And we put it in categories, I think in the four or five categories, service, schooling, I don't know, I can't remember all of it right off the top of my head. But they just had to check. Are you a planner? Do you like to start retreats? And what do you like to do in the retreat? You know, they just had to check it. And then, first of all, you have now a whole thing, a whole database in your hands that you can go, hey, Thelma really likes to plan. I'm going to get her on this and see if she'll help me with this. Or Louise loves to cook. Maybe she can help in that retreat. I thought that was one of the neatest things because now I can just go back and you can get that young lady or that owner meeting some purpose in saying, would you help us with this? Just a suggestion. What other ideas can you think of as we sit here and say, hey, you know, sometimes it just takes some juice, some oil to get everybody activated and say, never thought about it that way. Can you guys think of any other ways that we can motivate the next generation?
Show me how to do that.
Show me.
Oh my gosh.
That's a fabulous one. Show me how to do that on what? Technology. My phone. I saw that you could do this. Can you help me? I bet you we could get a class of some of our older ladies or get some ladies in here. And let's just put it out there. If you want to know more about your Apple phone or your Samsung, I'm not Apple. You know, we've got an hour etched out in our calendar to Joni Bell's going to be here, and she's going to share with you how to use your Apple phone. Anything, that's a great one. And I'll tell you, another one that I think is a lost art is, who wants to learn how to sew?
Yeah.
You know? Well, and it's simple like that. Even if you went to the leader or the pastor's wife or whoever is your women's event coordinator, you know, I really want to learn how to sew, but I need basics. Is there anybody in our church? Or, and she may say, why don't we put that out there? And then I'm going to make you the contact to get responses. You know, what else? Those are great. Tell me how to, or show me how to. That's great. What else? Come on. And as you think of these things, you can get really specific. I can't sing a note, I can't play a guitar. I've always wanted to know how to do those bells. I mean, it could be anything, but getting people engaged with one another, giving them responsibility. So, would you take the lead on that? Hey, I saw this article, thought about you. Think we can do anything on this? Think we can move forward with something like this? And if we can you help? Just getting our minds, because I know some of you women are probably exhausted. You've had a lot of change, or you're just brand new into this. Where do I go from here? Well, anything that's dynamic can help you in where do we go from here. So, and how I'm saying that, or why I'm saying that is, what you're seeing us do, and the reason you're seeing us read from these things, is because when we do a training, we have it scripted. We have it scripted word for word. If you see us boggle, it's because we've gone off script and we've made it our own. This helps take the fear out of somebody going, I could never go on a mission trip. And then they have the myriad of reasons. Too young, too old, too many kids, still working. I would never know what to say. I don't know what the response is. We are going to take away all of those roadblocks and teach you how to do this. You want a women's missions opportunity in your church? We want to bring that to you. We want to bring that and do the remaining six sessions that go along with this. I just did this training. Seed Sower, this is called Seed Sower, is an eight-session training that we have in our toolbox of trainings to do. Mm-hmm. I just did this at my church with the ladies in our church. They say the same thing. Oh, I would never know what to say, or I'm afraid to share anything, or I'm afraid to be rejected. We're taught, because you've been taught how to make a presentation. We're teaching you how to have a conversation, how to listen for opportunities to interject. We're teaching you how to wait for their response and not judge, not critique, but share with them an example we have in our own experience. And then transition. into the next step. We just gave you the examples of how to stop if there is no next step and let it go. If there was a yield, let's say, and next. But if there was a go, how do you go with the next step? You didn't get a chance to see all of the rest of them, but you do have a couple of examples in your book. And we want to come out and share the rest of this with your ladies. So.
And then they will also understand what we do when we go out into other nations. And then it becomes a one-on-one with feeling and loving people and meeting them where they are, learning from them as well as sharing with them.
And the reason we do this is because we want you to start your mission sending opportunities. Go with us. Be a part of missions. You are now trained, and you'll have your pieces of paper, that you can go with us as a team. We don't send you out alone. We send you with a team leader who will continue instructing you in this and cultural details. Then we go out as a team to share this globally. Dynamic Women in Missions has started over 180 churches in Bangladesh alone. What you're not seeing is the I Am Second Bible study, how we teach that, how we teach the three circles, how we train them to become church planters. In Bangladesh, in order to be recognized as a church, you have to have 25 baptized members. That's in the Talitha Kumi denomination. 180 churches started by a handful of women.
A handful.
But what you put on fire to a woman, you know, will blaze if you keep it going. So, we're going to wrap this up, and we've come to the end of our time, but not the end of our story. In this past hour, you've been equipped with some tools, practical, powerful tools that you'll use them. You've learned how to map relationships, and that's one of the things we train, because we don't think about it. Put yourself in the center, and who do I know? And those can change. Okay, Johnny, I pray for him, he's made it. Now I'm going to add another one. You just keep going. And you pray each week for that list. Place your hand over that list and pray for them.
Daily.
You've received a booklet. Oh, I'm sorry. You've learned how to map the relationships, and you've received a booklet to guide you on your next steps and a vision on how to engage, equip, and empower women, especially the next generation. We just talked about that. But now comes the moment that matters the most. What will you do with what you've received? Let me remind you, Jesus has been utilizing women in history from the very beginning. It was to a Samaritan woman. She was an outcast, overlooked, unexpected, that Jesus first said, "I am the Messiah." And what did she do? She ran and told her whole village. She had no training, no script, no title, just truth and a willing heart. And that's what God's calling to you right now. So don't let this just be another session. Let it be a launch pad. Let it be your line in the sand. The moment where you stopped waiting and started your calling. It's time to rise up. Rise up in confidence. Rise up in courage. Rise up in obedience to the one who's already gone before you. Mark Cahill, and some of you may know that author and some of you may not, has a book called The One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. The harvest is ready, and the world is waiting. Do you know what that one thing is that you can't do in heaven? Exactly. You can't share the gospel. So go Go in the power of the Spirit. Go with the gospel in your heart. And go beyond these walls. Get out there and do what He has called you to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Joshua is going to be out there collecting your white cards. And we just want to follow up with you or the church that you belong to and say, hey, we'd love to come out. If you're willing to give those to him, Joshua's right there. Thank you so much, and we'll hope to see you the rest of the conference. Thanks.
Or stop by the table.
Thank you.